Today is a very special day. Today is the Feast of Trumpets. It is the day when we can reflect on the rescue of the world, the rescue of the world, when we can review that special day yet to come, when, as it states in Leviticus, Mr. Spears, thank you, 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, "The Lord will descend with a shout, with a shout of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Then the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ." When that trumpet sounds, the answers to the world's problems will begin to be solved. The world will experience a new reality. The world is desperate to experience a new reality. The Feast of Trumpets contains an important... These keys are bothering me. I put them in my pocket and I just don't like anything in my pocket. The Feast of Trumpets contains an important message for us today. It is the most important news on the globe today. You can listen to the news. You can go on CNN. There was wonderful discussions this morning on breaking news here and there. But there's no answers. You could read the newspapers and there's things that are taking place. There are no answers. We're here to hear the answers for the world's problems. Today's Feast of Trumpets contains or heralds the gospel's emphasis on the proclamation that the Messiah is returning to establish the God's kingdom on earth. Today is the Feast of Trumpets. This day in times past began with the blowing of the shofar. I can't do that. I don't know how to blow a shofar. They're hard to do. It's a ram's horn. Our little Alona blew one for me last weekend. Little rat. 4 years old, three years old, and she's blowing a shofar. But it was to call a solemn assembly. Mr. Spears poked at that. This is a solemn assembly. This is a holy convocation. It is a special time. The trumpet is a brass instrument that gives a distinctive piercing tone, a tone that can be heard over great distances. It was used for announcements. It was used for warnings. I like the trumpet. I do. The trumpet has been used a lot for jazz. Big band Dennis and Harry James, Miles Davis, Billy Eckstein, Louis Prima, Al Hurt, Dizzy Gillespie. I love the trumpet. It gives wonderful sound. Trumpets have been used for fanfares, announcing the arrival of persons of importance. Events of consequence and magnitude are preceded by the trumpet. Let's not forget Matthew 6, where Jesus Christ called out the hypocrites, where the Pharisees would have trumpets blown whenever they gave their alms. Did anybody hear a trumpet call in here when we were giving an offering? No. See, that's a personal thing between you and God. They thought they were important and of consequence and of magnitude. And as God said, they blew the trumpet, so they blew their reward. Okay, I ad-libbed. Trumpets have been used for communication. Trumpeting tones can produce announcements that could be made covering great distances in little time, even before technology, even before Facebook, Twitter, Tweedledee and Tweedledum and all the rest of that stuff. Birth of royals have been announced through the kingdom by the sounds of trumpets, going from village to village to village. How about that? The kingdom of England would announce a royal and you would hear it throughout the nation in a short amount of time. And all they had were horses and carriages. But the trumpet could go from... because they knew where they were waiting for that trumpet sound. It was also to announce a warning. Trumpets have been used in war. Trumpet sound could be heard above the din of gunfire and yelling and dying. The military used the trumpet to call to assembly, call to attention, call to quarters, call to drill, call for fires, mail call, payday, recall, retreat, a call to arms, cavalry charges, and withdrawals. There's reveille, there's funerals, there's taps. A lot of communication without technology. In times past, trumpets have been used by those assigned to watch for danger, to warn the people of a coming enemy, to sound an alarm, sentries, standing guard, watching out for threats. They wake the people. They warn the people of our approaching danger. Such responsibility would never work with a saxophone, a flute, or a violin. Wouldn't work. But a trumpet takes the brass with a piercing sound to make such announcements, communications, and warnings. It's not elevator music that's going to get your attention. It's a trumpet. The world needs an alarm today. I was watching CNN this morning. The world needs an alarm. We live in the most technologically advanced time in the history of the planet, a time when science and technology should be able to master all the ills of the world, but it hasn't, because it can't. For the most part, you could ask, why not? Aren't we getting it right even a little? We may be insulated because we live in the U.S., but what about the rest of the world? What about the rest of the world? We have unending wars. Mr. Spears mentioned the war to end all wars, World War I, on the Sabbath message. World War I. Well, we have World War II. And since World War II, we have had 200 and some declared wars in a world that says no more war. We have unending wars, religious intolerance, imperfect governments, amoral leaders, technological threats, environmental catastrophes, food and economic crisis, constant health issues. I'm going to get a little depressing here for a second. According to the World Health Organization, 1/3 of the population of the world is being adequately fed. 1/3 of the world's population is being underfed. 1/3 of the world's population is starving. 4.6 billion people, 67% of the planet, are undernourished and starving. 4.6 billion people are undernourished or starving. According to the Bread for the World Organization, 16,000 children die from starvation and malnourishment each day, roughly one every 5 seconds. 720 little urchins will succumb to starvation during this sermon. The world is in desperate need. While we seemingly don't have the means to feed the world's population, surely we can handle the threat and spread of disease. No. According to the World Health Organization, back in 2012, there were outbreaks of cholera in Sierra Leone and the Congo, Ebola in the Congo and Uganda, the avian influenza in China, Cambodia, Indonesia, Egypt, Vietnam, Bangladesh. Yellow fever went into Ghana and Cameroon and Senegal. Lassa fever is in Nigeria. The hantavirus pulmonary syndrome is in the U.S. It's our very backyard right here. Last year, there was a major outbreak of polio in China and Pakistan. And on and on. I don't think we have a handle on disease either. Well, how about lifestyle and preventable diseases? You know where I'm going. Worldwide, 7.8 million people die each year of hypertension. 5 million people die from tobacco use. 4 million people die from cholesterol issues. 4 million people die from sexual diseases. Obesity, sedentary lifestyle, alcohol, pollution, water, sanitation, it all continues to rise. Well, you might say, well, within the United States, our numbers might be different. No, only in percentages. I mean, only in numbers. The annual number of deaths in the United States, smoking tobacco is 18.1%, 435,000 people die each year. Obesity is 4.6%, 112,000 people each year. Alcohol issues, 3.5%, or 85,000 people each year. Infectious diseases, toxic agents. Preventable medical errors in hospitals are 44,000 people die each year, up to almost 98,000. Traffic collisions, firearm deaths, suicides, homicides, accidents, legal intervention, even those that are unknown. And the list goes on. Of course, there are drug use and sexual transmitted issues. Not doing so well even with preventable deaths, are we? I mean, preventable deaths, things we can do, prevent ourselves from dying early. How are we dealing with social cares and concerns? Say, slavery. And you're sitting there going, slavery? This is the 21st century. Slavery? Wasn't that abolished in the 1860s here in the United States? Slavery was banned in the 1860s in the U.S. and 1880s in Africa. Today, almost every nation has written within their laws the banning of slavery. So how are we doing? It's in the laws of pretty much of the world. No slavery. According to the Anti-Slavery International, 20 million men and women and children are slaves today. 20 million men, women, and children are slaves today. 20 million. That's slightly more than the entire population of the state of New York, or the population of Florida and New Mexico, or the population of Illinois and Virginia together, or the entire populations of Utah, Nevada, New Mexico, West Virginia, Nebraska, Idaho, Hawaii, Maine, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Montana, Delaware, South Dakota, Alaska, Vermont, Washington, D.C., and Wyoming combined. We're not doing so well with social issues. Sometimes referred to as bonded laborers because of the debts owed their masters, public perception of modern slavery is often confused with reports of workers in low-wage jobs or inhuman working conditions. However, modern-day slaves are held in physical bondage. They're shackled, held at gunpoint, intimidated, and threatened. Literal slaves. The slave trade in Africa was officially banned in the early 1800s, but forced labor continues to be practiced in West and Central Africa today. UNICEF estimates 200,000 children from that region are sold into slavery every year. 200,000 sold every year into slavery. Well, I can go on, but you get the picture. The world is a mess. A mess that cannot be fixed by the same thinking that got it into the mess. And that's all that man can offer, is the same kind of me first. I know I'm right. There's no higher authority than me, certainly no God, and without which we cannot learn and grow and find our way out of this mess. Now, having depressed you, let's discuss what this day really is about. I call the Feast of Tabernacles the Festival of Hope. The Festival of Hope. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. Hope. H-O-P-E. What did I say? Oh, is it? Okay. I'm 2 weeks ahead. The Feast of Trumpets is the Festival of Hope. Keep me on a straight and narrow, kids. 1 Corinthians 15. With what I just read you, when I was working, the individuals I worked with were very smart and didn't want to discuss world situations because they saw no answer. And when they would get onto that topic, it would depress them because they had no answer. They saw no way out. It was one direction and one direction only, and it was disaster. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. Let's back up. Now, verse 12, isn't it? Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. The Feast of Trumpets works because Christ is risen. And he's coming back. I almost decided to say, listen to what Mr. Earle said for the opening prayer and we're done. Because his prayer covered it nicely. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. Right. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact that dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If In this life, all we have is what we see. There is no hope. It's hopeless. There must be more. There must be more. There has to be more. And God's word points it out. Verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The dead shall be raised. We shall be changed. There is something happening. And it's referenced by the Feast of Trumpets. Not tabernacles, trumpets. It is the festival of hope. It is a real hope, a lasting hope, not temporary hope jury-rigged together by man, but a real, viable, sustainable, lasting hope that is coming. Romans 8, please. Romans 8. Romans 8 states the condition of the planet quite clearly, nearly 2,000 years ago. The creation was groaning under the weight and abuse of man. Today, it's so much more so. Romans 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. The creation aches and groans and hurts right now. We could talk about water. We could talk about our air. We could talk about pollution. We could talk about mind pollution. Just go on the internet. Just go on TV, your what you read. We can talk about health issues. We could talk about food issues. The earth is groaning right now. It's hurting. It's in pain. The creation aches and groans and hurts, as we all do, for God's kingdom. Waiting for the true hope, a hope of change, a hope of tomorrow, the hope this planet needs, and that is the return of Jesus Christ. Today there are many who believe the answer to be New World Order. You can Google that and get 1.8, maybe 2 billion responses. New World Order. One government, one economy, everyone is equal. That's how man wants to fix things. They want to establish a new world order, a one world government. That way you could distribute assets and distribute resources evenly. Everybody's covered with a new world order. Some see this as a growing conspiracy to control people on a global scale, you know, world domination. Almost like every James Bond movie. There are people who talk about the Illuminati. There are various councils and committees. And frankly, there are. Each purported to be seek world dominion. Well, I want to put your concerns at rest. There is a conspiracy. And there is a conspiracy to bring about a world ruling government, but it isn't by man. It is by that demented being behind man. First question is, can man achieve peace and safety by himself through New World Order? Former intelligence agent of the British MI6, Dr. John Coleman, wrote, Conspirators Hierarchy, Committee of 300. See, there are committees of powerful people who try to control other people, all with the intent of solving the world's problems. One world government and one unit monetary system under permanent non-elected hereditary oligarchists who self-select from among their numbers in the form of a feudal system, as it were, from the Middle Ages. Permanent non-elected hereditary oligarchists non-elected hereditary people who self-select from among their numbers in the form of a feudal system. You're going to be told what to do by people you have no say in that they're elected. In this one world entity, population will be limited by restrictions on the number of children per family, diseases, wars, and famines, until 1 billion people who are useful to the ruling class in areas which will be strictly and clearly defined remain as the total population. 1 billion people. We're at 8. They want to go down to 1. There will be no middle class, only rulers and servants. All laws will be uniform under a legal system of world courts, practicing the same unified code of laws backed up by a one world government police force. I mean, we can go on and on. I'm going to bypass this. I just realize I don't care. I really don't. There is a conspiracy, and the conspiracy is from Satan, small s. The real conspiracy is from Satan. The day we are celebrating with such joy and such happiness represents the truth of the coming new world order, a world order that will be a sovereignty of everlasting peace, not a world order that dominates over a conquered and subjugated people, but a true kingdom of everlasting peace established in love. As man prepares a single ruling government, we're told that the outcome will not be as advertised. Let's go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Man has taken it upon himself to be the arbiter of all law, arbiter of all morality, and has rejected God. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it shall not save, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. I took exception years ago when President Obama said this was no longer a Christian nation. And he was referring to the numbers of types of different religions within its borders. I sat back and I thought about that. This nation has rejected God, has rejected Jesus Christ, and is no longer following Christian principles. We are no longer a Christian nation. We now are a nation of sin. Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue is mutter perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. Oh. Mr. Spears made the comment. He was reading the newspaper this morning, and he said he was thinking of Steve Martin in the movie Roxanne. And I didn't actually recall that. And he said that's when he bought a newspaper from a kiosk, walked away, ran back, put money back in the machine, opened it up, and threw the paper in there, and walked away because the news is that bad. No one calls for justice. No one pleads for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. We're going into the time of the election. empty words and lies just pour out from politicians. They hatch vipers' eggs and weave spiders' webs. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hand. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known. And there is no justice in their ways. They have made for themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Peace, peace. And they say, we want peace. But they don't have peace. Because they have crooked paths. I gave a sermon at one time at the feast. And I talked about the peacekeeper. One of the first peacekeepers was a 45. Another peacekeeper was a B-36, a bomber. Another peacekeeper was an ICBM missile. This was how the world looks for peace. It's a crooked path. They don't know where peace is. And they're not going to find it. They have made for themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light. Oh, we look for what's right. We look for the answers. But there is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as if it were twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. We growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. And we look for justice, but there is none. We look for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Man has rejected God and finds no peace, doesn't find a path to peace, finds no righteousness, there is no justice, but lives without truth. This is where we are today. Lies and sin and transgressions of God's law are the norm. And we will not be led into peace. Morality has flipped. Isaiah 5. Morality has flipped. A scripture that is familiar. 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The concept is now what was right and good is evil, and what is evil is right. We see that constantly. Morality is flipped. Today, good is bad, bad is good. Society's foundation is off kilter. Today you cannot just be right if you're doing wrong in the sight of God, but you are wrong in the sight of man if you're doing right in the sight of God. There is a conspiracy against those who call themselves Christian. Those who use the word Jesus in their life is set aside as an outcast. And how did this happen? Well, Revelation 12. Clear answer as to why man's world doesn't work anymore. Clear answer as to why this nation is no longer a Christian nation. Clear answer why man's attempts at solving whatever is taking place in this world will fail. Verse 9. Revelation 12, so that great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. And the phrase, of course, he deceives the whole world. Everything. Politics, education, agriculture, science, you name it, he has his deceptive fingers in it. If he has fingers, I don't know. He's actively deceiving the whole world. Man believes there is no God, so there cannot be a Satan. And he thinks himself in control. Man is not in control. Man is being manipulated. The one who tried to rule and control the universe by going to war with its creator now engages the effort to rule and control the creator's creation, man. But Satan, small s, will not succeed. And we have the Festival of Hope, Feast of Trumpets. And that's what it's about. Today reminds us of the promise of God. There is a hope for mankind in spite of mankind. Let's look at some of those scriptures. As the Feast of Trumpets, that festival of hope, we have promises from Jesus to comfort us as we go through trials and difficulties. And we go through them on a daily basis. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 11. Just above it is one of my favorite scriptures when we have the blessing of the little children. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. I think it's a wonderful thing that little people, little Kira here, has her own angel. And that angel visits the Father. I like to think that reporting that everything is okay. Nowhere in the book does it say they ever go away. So I know I've worn out one or two or three or ten trying to keep up with me. But I've always appreciated the fact that their angels always see the face of God. But let's go from 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. This world is lost. This world is lost. It doesn't have a means of getting back on the right track. It only has crooked paths. It's a way of destruction. That's all they have. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. He's talking about the world. No one should be lost. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not, take him one or two. I mean, there's more to this. And why did I go that far? Oh, I'm reading the wrong scripture. I was supposed to stop at 14. I got a glare here. I got to work on it. Jesus came so no one would be lost. Right now the world is lost. 1 Timothy 1, please. 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. Scriptures that highlight the Feast of Trumpets as the festival of hope in a world that is hopeless. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He came into the world to save sinners. We know that in Romans it says everyone has sinned. 1 John says everyone has sinned. He's come to save all sinners. John 3:16, you know that one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. That goes to everyone. God intends that the world have an open mind and be saved. But altruism goes so far as man. It will take a king and a world ruler to bring about peace to this planet. Man has altruism. They want the right things. But they can't get the right things. John 18. John 18. Jesus Christ dealing with his betrayal. Having to deal with challenges. John 18, verse 36. Here he's dealing with Pilate. Pilate, just see, verse 33, then Pilate entered the praetorium, again called Jesus, and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Kind of a little tete-a-tete going back. And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. This is not my time. This is not my kingdom. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. I am a king. I am coming to bring the truth. I am. That is my assignment. I have come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And of course, we have the ending there. Pilate said to him, what is truth? But then he said to the crowd, I don't find any fault with him. I don't find any fault with him. Altruism only goes so far. Man wants a change. Man wants to heal the world. Man wants to solve its problems, but on man's terms. And depending on which man you're talking to. Hitler wanted to have things on his terms. Stalin wanted the world on his terms. Who would you want to have a world ruling government over you? 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 13. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. That's definitely the wrong place. I'm in Colossians. I'll try that again. It didn't sound right. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Well, this makes so much more sense. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. And he's talking about death at this point. Concerning those who have fallen asleep. This is a biblical phrase for those who have died. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Just before I left work for my last day, my boss, his sister died. And he had to deal with the death. And he didn't know about tomorrow. He doesn't know that he will see her again. He doesn't know that there is hope for her. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Those who have died in Christ will rise the time of the return of Jesus Christ. There is hope. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead will rise and Christ will rise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. How comfortable it is that there is hope for a hopeless future, for a hopeless world. There is hope. Let's review some key scriptures as we have been. Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Revelation 17, verse 14. Make sure I'm there. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. He is called Lord of lords and King of kings. He's a conqueror. He will overcome them. A couple of pages forward. Revelation 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew him except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's interesting about that rod of iron. I'm still trying to confirm this. But every family line had a rod. It was a wooden rod that represented the family, and it stayed with the senior male of the whole family line. And when he died, they broke the rod. The line of Jesus Christ is the rod of iron. It will never break, because that lineage will never end. That lineage will never end. 1 John 2, please. 1 John 2. I'm going to sneak ahead and touch on the Day of Atonement because it fits. It's wonderful. You really can't talk about one feast day without all of them, because they all go together. Every feast goes into the next one. And it's one summation of the whole plan of God. It's marvelous. 1 John 2, verse 2. Verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation of our sins. And not ours only, but also for the whole world. He is our sacrifice for the whole world. Again, God doesn't want to lose anyone in this world. It's not just about us. It is about the world. He is our sacrifice. But we'll go into that next week. John 16. John 16, verse 33. Here he was talking to his disciples. The world needs a world ruling government. It needs a conqueror, but it needs one who loves the world, who has compassion for the world, who wants to end the world's misery for good and bring peace. Verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. We have peace in Christ. We have tribulation in the world. Christ has overcome the world. And we have now peace today in Christ. Peace of mind, spiritual peace, emotional peace. Because we know we have hope. Hope for tomorrow. Isaiah 26:3 is my new favorite scripture. Great peace have they whose mind is stayed on Christ, because you trust in him. Isaiah 26:3. Great peace have we when we keep our mind on Christ and trust him. Revelation 11. This isn't propaganda. I know Hitler dropped leaflets on the nations he was going to conquer, telling them that they would lose. The British dropped pamphlets. The United States dropped pamphlets on nations and people they were going to invade. This isn't propaganda. This is the word of God. Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. Jesus Christ is coming to bring a one world ruling government. to be king. And that righteous king will rule all mankind. And you know what's going to happen? When that righteous king rules all mankind, the people rejoice. Proverbs 29. Nobody rejoiced when Hitler took over most of Europe. Nobody rejoiced in Russia when Stalin was romping through. No one was rejoicing when Tojo was marching through the Pacific. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Jesus Christ is going to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is going to bring peace. He is going to bring safety. He's going to bring sanity to this world. He's going to heal the people. He's going to heal the nations. Food will be good to eat. Air will be good to breathe. That one world ruling government is the answer. This feast day, this Day of Trumpets, represents that festival of hope. The way of peace that this world so desperately needs will be provided. The knowledge that's missing from this world that's so important will be provided. Understanding of the plan of God will be open to the people. And with a righteous rule who serves the people for the love of the people will rejoice. The festival of trumpets is a festival of hope. Let's close with Romans 15. Romans 15. Romans 15. And verse 13. Now may the God of hope. God has so many different names, but God is a God of hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy. How can we have joy in a world that's racked with pain? Because we have hope of tomorrow. Fill you with all hope and peace. We know what's going to happen tomorrow. There is a world ruling government coming. There is a festival. There is a hope based on the festival of trumpets. That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The way of this world, they don't know the way of peace, but we have a peacekeeper coming. We have a world ruling government coming that will bring all the answers that we need. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. The righteous ruler is coming, and the people will rejoice. The Feast of Trumpets is a festival of hope. Have a good Sabbath.